Please join me in our understanding. Living God, help us to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were there not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So there's an ancient legend about two angels that would fly about the earth to gather people's prayers. No matter where people prayed, whether it was at their bedside or in a chapel or on a mountain or by the shores, these angels would collect the prayers. Now, before long, the basket that was carried by one of the angels grew quite heavy from the weight of the prayers collected, but the other one was almost empty. Into the first went those prayers of petition, "Lord, please give me this," or "I want that." But into the other basket went the prayers of thanks. One day, one of the angels said to the other, "Your basket seems very light." And the one who carried the thank you said, "Yes, people are usually ready enough to pray for what they want, but very few remember to thank God when their prayers are answered." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of my favorite hymns is the one we just sung, "God of the Sparrow, God of the Whale." The third stanza speaks of the covenant relationship that God has with God's people. First, the covenant that's expressed with the rainbow, the covenant that was made with Moses, God's act of grace after the storm and the flood. But then we get to the cross and the empty grave, God's ongoing covenant relationship with us through Jesus Christ. And so then the song says, how do the creatures say grace? And God answers us. But then it also asks the question, how does the creature say thanks? In this hymn, Yaroslav Vajda asks this question that Jesus raises today for us in the story of the 10 lepers. This week we begin another 4-part series. The last one's quite different from the last one, because the last 4 weeks we've dealt with Job and the question of suffering, a deep subject, where today we switch to a new topic that's more to help us cultivate our spiritual life. It's practical, Christian living and in cultivating our relationship with God and with one another. And so over the next 4 weeks, we'll be talking about the ways we express gratitude. Next week, we'll talk about praise and how we express God. And praise is kind of the idea of extolling the attributes. I liken it to my neighbor down the block when my faucet outside wouldn't stop running, and I ran down the block and he came over and he fixed it for me. And I praised him for his acuity at plumbing. and his willingness to give up time with his family after a long day of work to come help me fix my faucet. Then the next week, we talk about telling others about the things that we're grateful for, like I just told you about my neighbor. And then there's the responding in kind. We'll do that the fourth week. And, you know, because oftentimes when people do a kindness or God does a kindness for us, we respond by showing kindness or an act of generosity towards someone else. But this week, we start with the most basic of the expressions of gratitude, and those simple two words, thank you. And so we come to the story of the 10 lepers. Jesus is traveling, and he's on the road to Jerusalem and the cross. He is on his way to his ultimate purpose and goal. And he's in this region that's bordering Samaria and Galilee, and it's here that he encounters the 10 lepers. Sandy read for us the story, which Luke just kind of gives us an account. But it's really helpful to understand what these 10 men, what their life was like. These men had leprosy, a disease that is devastating to the body. It involves the loss of nerve sensations that cause people not to feel pain. And so ultimately, they injure themselves. They can lose appendages like their nose and fingers and toes and limbs. It leaves the person horribly disfigured. Beth Moore, in her book, Jesus, the One and Only, tells of an occasion she had to be near a modern-day leper colony. She had always wanted to minister to people in a leper colony, to share God's love with them. And she had a trip overseas that gave her that opportunity. So for three times, she passed by the entrance to the colony, and she willed herself to enter, to go in and to minister to these folks, but she couldn't do it. And the reason was the smell of rotting flesh. She could not go in. This disease is horrible. And if the physical effects are not enough, there's the emotional as well. So I want you to consider for a moment, how many times have you been touched or touched someone this morning? Might have been a kiss, might have been a hug, a handshake, a slap on the back, some way that you were touched today. This was not the life of a person with leprosy. A person, once they contracted this disease, was then taken from their household to live a life of isolation. They were not in contact with their loved ones, couldn't touch their loved ones. They could not work. They could not even attend worship at the synagogue. Under the law found in Leviticus 13, persons with leprosy or any skin disease had to live outside the community, often in colonies, in an enclave together. They had to wear torn clothes. They had to keep their hair unkept, cover the lower part of their face, and when people approached, they had to holler out a warning. They had to declare unclean, unclean, in loud voice. Demoralizing and painful life. And they subsisted on whatever people would leave around for them to live off of. This was their life day in and day out. But this day, as Jesus is walking through this in-between territory, he encounters these 10 men. And as Jesus approaches, they keep their distance as they are required by the law to do. And they cry out, not unclean, unclean, but they go, Lord Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And I love what the text says next. It says, when Jesus saw them. Jesus saw them. You know, hundreds of people probably pass them by every day. Some may have looked at them. Some may have judged them because in Jesus' day it was believed misfortune was the result of sin. Some may have had pity on them, but were afraid to be near them. Others may have stared or looked and turned away in disgust, but Jesus saw them. And you know, Jesus has a wonderful way of looking below the exterior. He looks past the outward disfigurement. He looks past the disfigurement of our sin to see the beauty of the person that is there. That's how Jesus sees us. It's how Jesus saw those 10 men. It's how we are to see each other and the people we meet every day. And so what Jesus does next is kind of odd. He doesn't touch them or anything. He just says, go present yourselves to the priests. Well, that's what the law required of them to do when they thought they were healed. In Leviticus 14, it says that to be declared clean, you had to go to a priest. The priest would inspect the person to verify that the disease had been healed, and they could then, after offering sacrifices, go back into the community and return to their lives. And so Jesus tells these men to go to the priests. And they leave immediately and they head out, and along the way they discover they are healed. Their bodies are made whole. We don't know what that looks like, that they were healed, but it had to be that the smell disintegrated away, that their sores and lesions and all those things began to close up. They were healed. They were beginning to be made whole again. The pain was gone and their nightmare over. The text doesn't tell us how they reacted to this, but I have to believe that all of a sudden they just broke out in laughter and cheering and hugging each other and maybe slapping each other on the back and just full of joy. And then that awesome anticipation, we probably can't even imagine when they began to realize that they could go home, that they could kiss their wives and hold their children and re-enter their lives. And so they're off and they're on their way, and this is where the story separates. Nine of them continue, but one stops. One returns and falls to the feet of Jesus, praising God and giving thanks. And Jesus says, well, where are the other nine? And as I read the story, I kind of like the first time, first few times, I'm like, well, Jesus, didn't you tell them to go? They're doing what you said. But you know, the story does show us two responses to an encounter with Jesus. The first nine, we ought not be too hard on them. They knew Jesus was a rabbi and a healer, and they weren't shy of asking for help. They wasted no time obeying his command to show themselves to the priest, showing some amount of faith and trust. They were heading in the direction Jesus told them to go when they discovered they were healed. But being Jewish, they knew that restoration to family and community would require that they get the seal of approval from the priest. And so their minds are set. They want to go home, and they're heading to the priest to get there. No doubt, the nine were declared clean by the priest and were reunited with their family. A happy ending. Very happy ending. But it's not the happiest ending. Because the best ending, the happiest ending, is reserved for the one who turned around and went back. And we're told in the story that he was a Samaritan. Samaritans were of Jewish ancestry, but they were also intermingled with other cultures. During the days of the Assyrian and Babylonian empires, there were people from other nations that were brought into Israel, and people from Israel were taken and spread out into other nations. Those two empires did that in order to keep people from rallying and rebelling. If you separate, you kind of demoralize people. And so it kept people separated. And so you have these people that were Jewish that now were intermarrying, and from them you have the Samaritans. The Samaritans worshipped God, but not in Jerusalem, at Mount Gerizim, as the story of the Samaritan woman at the well tells us. But in throughout the scriptures in the Gospels, there is a tension between the Samaritans and the Jews throughout, and also with the Gentiles. And we find oftentimes in the stories that it is the Samaritans and the Gentiles that seem to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus has come to do, where the Jews wrestle and struggle with that. And so we see today the true nature of worship in this story. You know, Martin Luther was once asked to describe what the nature of true worship was, and his reply was the 10th leper turning back. The other 9 were moving to ritual and to rules. That was the nature of worship in the life of a Jewish person. It was the law that God had set up, and it was the way they lived their lives. Nothing wrong with the way they did that. But the interesting thing about the one is that he wasn't interested in the ritual and the rules. He was interested in the one who healed him. And so he turns, comes back, falling to the feet of Jesus, giving praise and thanksgiving. The text tells us that all were healed. And as we look at the text, we discover something that is very unique to the one. All were healed. Healed in the Greek just means they were patched up. They were mended in their physical body. The text also tells us that all 10 were cleansed. That meant that they were purified. Interestingly, those 9 did not have to keep going because Jesus, the high priest, the Son of God, had already purified them. But they went to the priest. But the last one is the most important. This man is still at the feet of Jesus, kneeling, when Jesus speaks these words. He says to them, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The Greek word for this is sozo, which we translate saved. This man experienced a salvation moment in his moment of gratitude and in his moment of praise. This was the extra blessing that he received. It was interesting that all 10 of these men cried out for mercy, but only one gave praise and glory to God in a loud voice. If it were those 2 angels moving about, one would have gotten 9 prayers in their basket, but the other one would have gotten 1. The 9 experienced a healing, they experienced a miracle, and they received a gift. But the one, he received the healer. He experienced the miracle worker and came to know the one who gave him life. All 10 cried out, but only one gave praise. There is no doubt that Jesus was disappointed with the 9 who did not return, but not because Jesus needs our thanks. Jesus understands that a life of gratitude and praise to God is important to our whole being, to our physical, emotional, and our spiritual health. And so, as I said, this week we're going to begin this series on gratitude and to cultivate gratitude. Several of you have commented that you like my sermons because I do teaching. Well, you may change your mind today. Because, you know, teachers like to give homework. It's in your bulletin. They're easy. Easy things to do to help cultivate. I would ask that you really engage this for a month. You may already give praise and thanksgiving to God on a regular basis, but this asks you to do it also in community. And so the first one is our expressions of gratitude, of thanks, specifically to God. So at the end of each day, I suggest you choose 3 things that you're thankful for. And you can't use the same 3 things for 30 days. Get creative. Each day, sometimes in our worst days, we can still find something to give thanks for. And so, you know, if I were to think about yesterday, I would give thanks for all the people that made Trunk or Treat a success, for God touching the hearts of those who came to serve, who came to have a trunk, who gave us mounds of chocolate and other goodies that we had available. It took a lot of people. I give thanks to God because I prayed there'd be no wind, because we had 2 bouncy houses, and I did not want a repeat of Dorothy and Toto flying away in a house from our sight. And it was just a beautiful evening. It was perfect, and I'm thankful for that. And so, there are things that each day we can find to be thankful for. And it tells us here that not only are we to be grateful to God, but then share those thanksgivings that we had with someone. Maybe you and your spouse can sit down over dinner and talk about the three things you're thankful for that day. If you're single, buddy up with somebody and share each day what your three things are, and that way you get to check in on each other too and make sure everyone's that you're both doing okay. It's a great way to celebrate God's work in our lives. I guarantee you that if you do this week and then you continue to do it for the whole month of November, it'll be amazing. Guarantee it. Then the second one is think of someone you would like to thank. It might be someone that has touched your life in the past and you can write them a thank you note or send them an email. Or it might be someone today that's touched your life. You only have to do one this week, but if you feel like it, you can do more. And so that's your assignment for this week. You'll have an assignment next week. I'll have to remind Kathy to point them out. And so I encourage that. And so this is our goal for the month of November. You know that angel that's going around collecting prayers? The one that has that sad, empty basket? Let's weigh the angel down this month so that it can't even fly. Thanks be to God. Amen.